From Studio F, high atop Five Wish Media World Domination Headquarters in Rochester, New York, it is the Top of the Tower podcast, episode number 11. And if you are hearing this right now, it means that I am off somewhere in Germany, possibly looking at strange European radio towers somewhere over Stuttgart and trying to figure out what broadcasts are coming from them. But it also means that I haven't had an opportunity to get to a microphone and update it with any sort of breaking news. So for that, we direct you over to radioinsight.com, which has all of your radio breaking news 24/7. In the meantime, this week, we're going to bring you a few more of the interviews that we did at the combined AES and NAB New York shows that took place a few weeks ago at the Javits Center in Manhattan. One of the people we always enjoy catching up with at any radio show is our good friend Valerie Geller. Valerie is an author, a consultant, one of the real experts on spoken word radio. She travels the world, literally consulting broadcasters on how to make more engaging radio. She's the author of multiple books about that very topic, including Creating Powerful Radio. And we had a chance to catch up with her just outside one of the podcast sessions on the floor at NAB New York. So we are here at NAB New York, which started out as a TV production show, basically. And there's a lot of podcasting stuff going on here, a lot of audio production. How does this all fit together in this crazy modern world of ours?
With the podcasters particularly, they are looking at every piece of equipment in the room because they are putting together kits so that they can do podcasting. Broadcasters are looking for equipment that can consolidate and do things quicker and multitask. So one of the things I looked at here was a piece of technology that actually clips something off air as you're talking on the air, and it will post it on your Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, blah, blah, blah. So there's a metamorphosis of and a convergence of all of the different mediums working together in our marvelous broadcast and story business.
As witness the fact that I'm standing here doing a podcast now, which if you'd asked me 5 years ago, I would have told you probably wasn't on my radar.
But if somebody had asked you, if there was a new canvas and you could paint with any color in the paint box and paint whatever you wanted, and it was easy and all you had to do was use your natural God-given talent and skill set that you've already been trained to do, would you want to dip a paintbrush in the paint and paint on the new canvas? What would your answer be?
Exactly.
That's where we're at. We are at that place.
So you travel around consulting, working with all kinds of spoken word formats, not just in the U.S., but abroad. What are you seeing talent-wise? I mean, are there still people out there who are just radio people, or you really have to have all these skill sets now?
It's interesting. You're always going to have people who are in love with radio. And as long as there's good stuff on radio broadcast that is powerful and hits truth and takes people on journeys and tells powerful stories and makes people laugh and keeps them company so that they don't feel so alone, as long as radio continues to uniquely do that in any way, shape, or form, radio will have listeners. And you'll get those 7-year-old kids who are listening and calling shows and thinking, I want to do that when I get to be a grown-up. But now it's not just radio. Just as newspapers sat side by side with radio, which sat side by side with television and film, now we're sitting side by side with interactive media, the internet, and podcasting.
Is there a difference now when you're training people on skills, on which pieces they kind of already natively bring to the table and what you have to teach them from what it would have been?
The most appalling thing that's changed is the attention span of the listener. And this is core. I work in 36 countries and I work one-on-one with programming. And every single place I work, no matter the language or the culture, whether it's Johannesburg or Cleveland, the attention span of the listener has lessened, which means we need to engage immediately. You do not have 3 seconds. Their switch-off point has gotten to be very, very quick. So there are some tricks and techniques that I work with that are in Beyond Powerful Radio, and I contributed to a book called Viral Podcasting by Carrie Lutz, and we really detail how you can focus, engage, opinion, position, storytell, and quickly, quickly engage.
And this translates back to radio from podcasting too, right?
Exactly. Same skill set. Different screen, but same skill set.
Is there a difference at this point between what you're teaching people here in the States and what you're teaching people as you work internationally?
You know, one of the joys of my job is you get to meet people in different countries and different cultures. It's one of the great joys of my life. And it keeps my my heart beating with this because I see the passion for audio storytelling and radio everywhere around the globe. What you never want to do is take an American recipe and make them do it. If you're in Japan, you take an American recipe and make it with Japanese ingredients. So part of the challenge for me is tailoring. You know, if I'm working in Sweden and it's a smaller language with something like 3,000 words and everything is intonation and they're not big talkers, so you have to then tailor each word to have meaning. And are they speaking visually? Does each word make a word picture? Are they saying it is a beautiful sunset or tangerine sky? Are you making it powerful radio? And that works around the world.
More use in that sound in a situation like that?
Absolutely. The more sound you can use to make the stories work. And again, in podcasting, we're seeing a journey back to sound with the storytelling. So some of the Wondery product, you know, with the creeping of the footsteps in the dark and the, you know, the door creaking open. And I mean, you're actually hearing those old sound effects, and it's quite wonderful.
Well, I'd like to think, you know, since I have one foot in the public radio world, that everybody in public radio has kind of been pushing that pretty hard for a long time now. And all of a sudden, everybody's kind of seeing things the way we've been seeing it for.
Public radio was about 10 years ahead of everybody on podcasting because it was kids in college, and they were tech savvy, and they just thought it was fun. They didn't look at it as, can we make money doing this? Can I get a job doing this? They just had a passion for, this is a cool way to tell a story. This is a cool way where I can play records for my friends or music for my friends that I like. This is a cool way where we can talk about our day and maybe explore some things or do some interviews. And what happened was they developed through this. I mean, people think it's new. This American Life was a 20-year project, and it evolved over time. And it's product permanence promotion. You do it over time, and then you let people know. And public radio has been way ahead of the game on that because it came out of true passion and a true desire to tell a story in a different and unique personal way.
And it still has the resources to grow that I think commercial radio. You know, especially, I know a lot of people within CBS are worried about the Entercom merger and what that's going to mean to them. Is it healthier internationally, do you think, in terms of the commercial spoken word formats?
Well, getting back to public radio, you know, thank you, Joan Kroc. We bless McDonald's and hamburgers. And thank you, Donald Trump, because that has given more money to public radio in this past, I'd say, five-year period. First with the Kroc millions, and then now with people being afraid of independent voices being silenced and wanting to support public radio and public radio newsrooms. So we're actually seeing a resurgence of financing coming into public radio. And the sponsors and underwriters for public radio want to be associated with it, products and services that want that audience, and it's deeply targeted. So these are actually fat years for public radio and lean years for people who have squeezed and cut from the bone. Consolidation has not just cut the fat, they've cut from the bone. And when you no longer provide original, interesting, creative content for audiences, they tend not to hang around.
Amen to that. Are we in any danger of a saturation point at this point where there's just more good audio content out there than any human being can process in the course of a week?
You know, one time a friend of mine who was a disc jockey, a very, very successful one, said, can you stand one more love song? Well, if it's that one, you can.
What's next on your plate?
I'm going to South Africa to work with Cape Talk and 702 in Johannesburg and Cape Town in Los Angeles for a public radio project. And I work a lot of one-on-one coaching with podcasts and podcasters to get, keep, and grow audience using the material that's detailed in the book.
Excellent. Phil Geller, thank you so much.
While we were on the floor at NAB, one of the topics that we were also talking about was virtualized studios. It's an interesting topic, especially in the wake of the main studio rule having been done away with just recently by the FCC, because one of the realities that I think underlies that decision is the reality that you can do radio these days from just about anywhere. Not just a matter of producing content, actually controlling content, taking care of automation, looking after transmitters, all of that stuff. And one of the companies that's been advanced in that area is actually where we are right now in Germany. It's LAVO. But they are also making more of a push into the U.S. And while we were on the floor at NAB, we had a chance to talk with LAVO's Bill Bennett about some of the neat things that his company is up to.
Let's start with one very simple thing. LAWO, a lot of people on this side of the pond. It's LAVO, right?
Correct. Yep, it's pronounced LAVO. You bet.
All right. These are some beautiful consoles that we're looking at. First of all, let's talk about what you got here in the booth, these Ruby consoles.
So here we're showing our new Ruby console, which is a really beautiful piece of German hardware that is designed for both a future world of technology and software configuration and virtual broadcasting, and it bridges the gap with traditional consoles and mechanical faders and stuff like that, and a very elegant platform, a really solid piece of hardware that is very scalable.
This whole concept of virtualization, I think people who are accustomed to just traditional radio facility design are still wrapping their heads around this. How do you explain it to people who have just been doing traditional studio design and facility design for all their careers?
Well, so in the world of broadcasting, especially in radio, the legacy has been analog baseband signals, a signal per cable or signal per wire. And over time, you've seen the introduction of AOIP standards, audio over various IP protocols and digitalization of audio. And so the next step, we think, is a full digital environment where everything is running over an open standard like AES-67 audio over IP, where you can get at least 64 channels of audio each direction on an Ethernet cable and more, depending on the type of specification you're working with. So that allows you flexibility, like routing packets through the Internet, basically, where whether a studio is next door on the other side of a wall or through a VPN on another side of the continent, your audio passes through seamlessly through a switch network, a layer 3 network. So if you're surfing the Internet or running audio over a pipe, it's kind of the same thing. Wherever you want to route it, you can do it easily.
And you could put one of these consoles anywhere, right?
Yeah, the beauty of these consoles is because they're really scalable. I mean, this platform here goes from 4 to 60 faders. But with our VizTool software environment and our PowerCore I/O interface, you don't even need physical faders. You can have entirely virtual faders on a touchscreen environment that can be controlled through automation or operators in different studios or multiple operators in different studios. And the other cool thing is, like at 3 in the morning, if you have a jock that's on the air with a problem on your console, the engineer doesn't have to come in and look at the board. They can grab a hold of our VizTool remote application over a desktop connection and fix it remotely.
It's an amazing thing, you know, all the things that you can do now remotely and without this physical hardware necessarily. How does this change the way what people think of as radio studios? I mean, I can do this now in my bedroom if I wanted to, right?
Actually, literally, there are people creating shows entirely in an offline environment in their bedroom or a home studio or something like that. And we know that's just going to continue with promiscuous IP connectivity and so easily accessible. We see the world changing. The workflow of a broadcast studio is already changing. Very often I get to go to stations now, a lot of public radio stations, and there's nobody in the studio. I'm like, right, they're off that hard drive over there, or somebody's streaming from their home studio over codec right now. So radio stations are changing, television stations too, of course. And Lavo itself is a company that's extremely focused on the workflow of these environments. And that's why when we say an IP environment that supports both really seamless audio routing and control routing, you are maximizing your opportunity for flexibility down the road.
I think a lot of people in the U.S. tend to think of Lavo as being one of the high-end brands. I think, okay, Saturday Night Live is using you guys, for instance. That's one of your signature facilities. But this can work in a lower end, too. What's it like trying to break into that market here in the U.S.?
Well, price is always a factor, right? Because a facility budget is only so great. And so we know that. In the marketplace, we assess what kind of environment that is. And part of the whole Ruby PowerCore concept is to bring some really high-end features from our Sapphire product line into a more affordable and scalable platform. And it's FPGA-based, which means that we can upgrade it later with different kind of functionality as the customer needs change.
Thanks so much for spending a few minutes with us, Bill.
Hey, my pleasure. Thanks for coming by.
And another very frequent face that we see at a lot of these conventions is Holland Cook. Holland Cook, of course, made his name in Rhode Island radio. He was a big name on WPRO and has become a big talk show consultant these days. And as you'll hear, he's also now a talk show host in his own right on the RT cable channel. We caught up with him just outside the press room downstairs at the NAB convention.
Holland Cook, how you doing?
Well, I've made the leap to television. I'm doing a show on RT America. It's called The Big Picture, and I inherited it from another radio guy, Tom Hartman, who had done the longest running show on the channel and wanted to move back to Portland, Oregon and play with his grandchildren and focus on his radio show. So I took it over a couple of weeks ago, and we're on DirecTV channel 321, and who knows where on your cable, and at RT.com on Friday nights at 7 and 10:30 p.m. Eastern, like all the shows on RT America. It's a half hour. and we spend 2 days doing a half hour. This is very foreign to radio, where we wing it, right?
Mm-hmm.
We wing it.
All right, so let's talk about this difference, because anybody at this point who's doing radio talk ought to know how to do TV talk, right?
You would think so, but I recommend the other way around because of what I said a minute ago. We wing it, and I think that the biggest problem plaguing talk radio is too much talk. And I know that sounds like double talk, but it takes forever for some of these guys to come to the point. And there's something about that teleprompter that imposes a useful discipline. And I'll be a little old man in a walker, still consulting talk radio, saying, would you script your dang open? So it's a very useful discipline that I've conformed to in TV, but was always preaching out in radio.
And yet, one of the most successful talents right now on TV talk is Rachel Maddow, who does a 22-minute monologue at the start of the show. How do you explain that?
She's reading it. It's not winging it. She's reading that prompter. One night they caught her, oops, and she had to admit on the air, I think we've put the wrong script on the prompter. And she backtracked pretty deftly. But I just think that radio should script a lot more. And it really came home when you get to the moment by moment by moment, event by event by event stack of stuff that turns into a TV show.
Of course, scripting takes time, people, and money, and radio lately hasn't been that good at that. How do you make the sell?
Well, I write my own TV show. I have somebody show me how to put it into the software, and I have line producers that fill in all the wallpaper and the graphics and the supers and all that, but I write my show, and why can't people in radio make that claim?
Why, indeed. Who are you keeping an eye out? Who should people be listening to if you want to say, okay, who's up and coming and talk that I need to know about right now?
If I knew the answer to that, I would clone those people, because everybody with an opening has a challenge. Ironically, it's a seller's market for talent, and there are fewer jobs as a result of automation and syndication and consolidation and all of that stuff. And the show you and I did when we were entry level, starting the turntable on the wrong speed on the all-night show with five towers in the backyard, that was radio's farm team. And young people aspire to produce the kind of work we do, but they're doing it on the digital platform now, where the smart stations are prospecting. And the same goes for sales. Every station that I work for, the owner or general manager says, if I could find two good reps today, I'd hire them. And that says a mouthful, because you won't even know for 6 months if they're going to work out. So the talent opportunity is still there. We just have to look harder to find the talent.
Of course, you've got podcasts up the wazoo. I mean, if I'm doing one by now, you know everybody is.
Yeah.
Is there going to be a point where people say, you know what, I'd rather just keep podcasting. I don't have a boss telling me what to do. I don't have to stop down and hit the news at the top of the hour if I want to go 42 minutes and not an hour, because that's what I have to say. Where's the appeal still going to be of doing radio?
Well, we are talking about effectively the Netflix of audio. We live in a very on-demand culture now, so that there's that. A lot of displaced talent are trying to figure out how to make a living podcasting, and they can probably identify a couple of local sponsors that they produced results for doing endorsement spots. But then again, it's a worldwide web, so they're only monetizing their 30-square-mile transmitter footprint on the digital platform. I think we're still trying to figure it all out, but the key seems to be getting on iTunes and to make the transition from broadcasting to a mass appeal audience in your 30-square-mile footprint to narrowcasting, something that everyone in the world would find interesting. And you know what's out there. There's podcasts about bonsai trees and cigars and all kinds of narrow stuff. And I think it's the narrower the better if you want to talk to the whole world. But if you're talking locally, you're going to have to fuel it with some of that sponsor money that you clicked for in radio and work your butt off to make sure it's not a well-kept secret. Something that I've been telling displaced radio news people for 15 years is, since there's not an opportunity across the street, having bought the station across the street, mm-hmm. go be the audio guy for the newspaper. You know, they need someone with your skill set, and you save them the learning curve.
Of course, increasingly that also means being the video guy.
Sure, yeah. Well, you know, we're walking around with this thing in our pocket we used to call a phone, on which you can capture, edit, assemble, and upload, indeed broadcast the whole story, audio or video. So this is the tool that we have to get deft with. The trick is connecting. You know, get on iTunes, figure out a way to get the word out there. If you've got a partner with a flock, with any kind of turnstile, with a mailing list, a sponsor for whom you can help move the needle, let them stick a flyer in their monthly billing that goes out. However you can spread the word. We know how to publish. It's like the old thing about radio syndication. It's not easy to do a good weekend radio show, but doing the show is the easiest part of syndication. You got to get the clearance. You got to get the oxygen. And the digital analog to that, if that's not an oxymoron, is how do you tell the world that there's this thing they can listen to on that thing we used to call a phone?
The digital analog. That'd be a good name for a show.
Who knew? Jumbo Shrimp.
There we go. Holland Cook, thanks so much. And again, plug your show again.
It is The Big Picture on RT America, which is DirecTV Channel 321 or RT.com. And we're on Friday nights at 7 and 10:30 Eastern. Question more.
Right,
I'm on right after Larry King and just before Jesse Ventura. Am I in esteemed company or what?
Yeah, we hope you enjoyed those conversations from NAB and AES New York. There is much more from those conventions. If you go to aesbroadcast.org, you can see more about some of the AES broadcast sessions that David Bialik did. A lot of fascinating stuff, and I believe there's going to be some audio up there that you can listen to of some of those as well. We will be back in the saddle, back in the States next week with all kinds of news updates from while we were gone, maybe some stories about what we were able to see while we were in Europe, and your input, too, is always welcome. A reminder, as always, we are brought to you by Feibusch Media, helping broadcasters improve their signals, whether it's station brokerage, whether it's translator services, signal improvement, strategic consulting. We're here to do it for you. Check us out at FeibuschMedia.com. And, of course, it's calendar season. Don't miss the Feibusch Tower Site calendar, available now at Feibusch.com. You can check out the Broadcast Historians calendar that we also offer for 2018, also at the Feibusch.com store. Thanks for being with us. We'll be back with you next week here on the Top of the Tower Podcast.